Welcome. You are listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You have the opportunity to download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. You have also the opportunity to call in at any time to share your questions or thoughts or ideas by calling 740-383-9944. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Bishop J.C. Church, 485 State Route 4 South, Bucyrus, Ohio. Telephone number there is 419-563-9565. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. That's here in Marion, Ohio. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street, telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month, which was last Saturday. So if you did not participate in that, you'll have to wait till May. Remember, the second Saturday, mark your calendars of every month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration required. All you have to do is register your name and number of people in your household. Inspect Ohio, home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. I also have a thought for you today. You will never be happy if you continue to search for what happiness consists of. You will never live if you are looking for the meaning of life. So I hope that would help some of you who are looking for happiness. And maybe you found it, and I pray that you have. And now I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today, our illustrious Mayor Scott Schertzer of Marion, Ohio. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, that's great. You look good, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
I haven't seen you in a while, I guess, huh?
Well, I guess our paths haven't crossed here recently, have they?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing we're together this afternoon, then.
That's true. That's true. I had the flu. Oh, my gosh. Mm. I tell you, that thing, it just lingers and lingers and lingers for some reason.
But they say it was a rough one this year. Knock on wood, I have not gotten it. Did you get a flu shot?
No.
Well, they say that if you got a flu shot, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. You might have still gotten the flu, but I've gotten a flu shot every year, and again, knock on wood, and I've been very fortunate when it comes to the flu the past few years. So.
Well, me too. I was thinking it had to be in the 80s last time I had it.
Wow.
That's a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah. It only lasted a week, so.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people had it for a couple weeks.
They did.
Yeah,
yep.
Only lasted a week, and I thank God for that one. So how's your family?
Everybody's doing great. The girls are still in Harding Singers and enjoying that, and they went to New York a week ago, and first time that they have ever done that. They took portions of the Harding Singers and the choir from Harding, and they spent a couple days in New York, and they got to perform a couple of times, and they went to a couple of, I don't know what you call them, not seminars, but a couple of opportunities to work with some Broadway folks on some things. So that was a really neat trip for them. Wow. A learning trip and a sightseeing trip all in one.
That's great. That's great. And your wife, is she still doing music at Grant Middle School?
Still at Grant Middle School. They had a very successful production this year with the Grant Middle School Choir. And so she's already planning next year's show, which will be in, I think, March of next year. So, yeah.
That's great. That's great. I know they're fortunate to have her there. She works very hard.
Well, thank you. I have a very musical family, and I have absolutely zero talent when it comes to music. I can't sing. I can't play anything, and my kids ask me not to sing when I sometimes comes out. Yeah, I'm terrible.
Is it that bad?
Yeah.
So just be quiet, Dad, right?
I'll just be quiet and listen.
Just move your lips like you're singing, right? A lot of people do that, and they get in trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
Stars, right? Oh, but they were just moving their lips, but they can sing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how many terms have you been elected as mayor?
This is my third term.
Third term.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you anticipating on running again?
Well, you know, in my line of work, it is very different than most lines of work. My job is, I guess, somewhat guaranteed, if you will, every 4 years after you're reelected.
Okay.
It's different than most professions. But this is not the kind of job that you're supposed to have forever. But you know, I look at the age that I am and look at the last mayor. I don't even think he was elected to the office of mayor at the age that I currently am. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I still have a lot to give. I have a lot that I want to give.
Right, right.
And so I would like to stay in public policy and elective office. And so we'll see what happens. It's not for a little over a year from now. So we'll make that determination when the time comes, but I certainly do enjoy being the mayor of my hometown.
Right,
it's a great honor to do something like that, and I enjoy serving the people, but we'll see what happens.
That's great. We're fortunate to have you as our mayor.
Thank you.
In your third term. I know you had thought about possibly running for a different office, so what happened with that?
Well, again, in my profession, when opportunity knocks, like I guess in any profession, you have to be ready to open up the door and answer it. And I was asked to run for lieutenant governor earlier this year, something that I really hadn't aspired to do. But, given an opportunity to run for a higher office representing your state, I took advantage of that, and I said yes to that opportunity, and I was a statewide candidate for lieutenant governor for 30 days.
Nice.
And so in a situation like that, you're on what they call a ticket. You're kind of a team. There's the gubernatorial candidate and then their running mate, which would have been me, and at the time, there were probably 5 or 6 tickets out there just on my side of the political aisle, let alone the other side of the political aisle, where there were a few also.
Right.
And I ran for that 30 days. I thoroughly enjoyed my 30 days on the campaign trail in the state of Ohio. I had an opportunity to travel the state. You meet and greet and talk to so many different people. And for me, that's the fun part of it. And the travel was also very interesting as well. But I got a call on a Sunday night, and my running mate said that she was dropping out, and when she dropped out, that means I dropped out. So, that's the way that story went. I think it's great that there are primaries this year for the highest office in the state of Ohio, which would be governor and lieutenant governor.
Okay.
I think we've needed some primaries in this state for a long time. We too often let the political kingpins in Columbus decide who our top elected official nominees are going to be.
Right.
And now here's an opportunity for the voters to decide who they want. On my side of the political aisle, there are some distinct differences between the candidates running for governor this year. And I think also on the other side of the aisle, there are some distinct differences between the gubernatorial candidates. And so now the voters get to decide, what kind of candidate do we want running for governor on the Democratic and the Republican side.
Right.
And I think that brings out more people. They get more engaged in the political process. I'm hoping that the vote numbers go up this year than in years past. For gubernatorial races,
right.
And that people stay engaged in the political process, because certainly there is a lot going on in this country, there's a lot going on in the state.
Yes,
and let me just say that there are also a lot of good things going on in this country and in this state. So depending on where you lie politically, you're going to want to make your selection for those offices here. I believe it's May 8th is the primary, but early voting has already begun, so you can get out there and vote early.
That's true. That's true. And our election is May 6th, I think, right?
It's the first Tuesday after the first Monday in May for the primary. And so as we both check our calendars right now, it is May the 8th this year.
Okay, May 8th.
And that's for the primary. So the winners of the primaries will go on to run in the November's general election, and these new statewide office holders will be sworn into office sometime around January 1st of 2019. Of course, when you look at the state races this year, there's governor, there's attorney general, secretary of state, state auditor, I think I'm leaving out somebody. State treasurer, and all those seats are what we call open seats because the office holders that are there now are termed out. And that means that they can only serve two consecutive terms and then they have to step aside. So this year, all those are open seats. So we're going to have new office holders in all those statewide offices that I just mentioned elected in November of this year. Okay. So it's an opportunity to mix things up and shuffle the deck and get some new people in there and get a balance of power in the state of Ohio. Right. And hopefully that'll be good for everybody.
Now that's the key word, balance of power.
Right. You know, I was an eighth grade American history teacher before I became mayor, and I served on city council as I was a teacher. And in eighth grade American history, we spend a lot of time talking about our government, when it was first formed after the Revolution, how it was put together, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And I'm amazed at how many people don't understand that we have three branches of government.
Right.
And each branch of government is responsible for something specific. And they have checks and balances. So not one branch of the three branches becomes more powerful than the other. In order for our government to work as effectively as it can, we need to make sure that we not only have good people in there, but that the checks and balance systems is in place. And not only that, but we have three levels of government. You've got the local level, which is where I serve as mayor, and then you've got the state level and then the federal level. So our government is broad and wide to serve the people, but the people need to understand how their government works if they want it to work best for them.
I think we should do more studying on politics about what's going on in our city and in our state and in our nation, because unless something or someone says, well, you better vote, if you don't vote this is going to happen or that's going to happen, and then people get in a hurry to go vote, like a presidential election, you know, then you have more turnout, bigger turnout. But they have to realize it's important to vote in every election.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's important to vote, and we've seen races, especially at the local level, that have been ties, and they've literally had to do a coin toss to see who won, or somebody has won an election at the local level by just a mere one vote. And so don't ever think that your vote doesn't count, especially when the other person wins by one vote. If you'd have gone out to vote, it might have turned out differently.
That's true.
But, you know, all these things are true, but I think sometimes people get so turned off by government because of politics.
Yes.
And the business of politics and the business of governing are two separate issues.
Mm-hmm.
You have to run for office, that's the politics side, to be in the government side, which is running the government. And I guess that's just kind of my perspective on it and how I view it.
Right.
I tell candidates locally all the time that, you know, once you run for office and win, it's not the same as running for office. It's two entirely different things. You have to represent the people. Sometimes the people tell you what they want, and sometimes they don't. And when you don't hear from the people, that tells me that they have left it up to me to make the decision, because that's my job to make the decision for government issues if I don't hear from the people.
Right. Absolutely. I understand. How can you do your job effectively if they don't reach out and talk to you or meet with you or be a part of the system?
And don't get me wrong, that does happen. I meet with a lot of folks and different organizations, and I like to travel throughout the city attending different events, because that's when people feel comfortable to come up and talk to you and ask you a question. And that's the way I govern here locally.
Right.
You know, I don't get that terribly many people that, you know, make an appointment to come in and talk to the mayor, but it does happen. The nice thing about the being the mayor of Marion is you're accessible. It's not like you're the mayor of Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, New York, Chicago, where mayors have layers around them and you got to get through those layers first before you can even, you know, talk to the mayor. Right. It's not that way here. You know, I attend Friday night football games at Harding High School. I have people coming up to me all the time as I'm standing on the sidelines along with everybody else watching the football game. You know, I attend my daughter's events when they were at Grant Middle School or now at the high school. And the mayor is much more accessible in our community than they are compared to other communities.
Right.
And I suspect it's very similar to other cities that are much like a Marion size and demographics. So the mayor is easy to, you know, reach out and touch in our community compared to some others.
That means that you're not constrained to 9 to 5, right?
So right.
When people see you, wherever they see you, here they come. So your job is not over till what time? 9 or 10 at night?
Well, you know, and that's a good point. It just depends. It's almost a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
You know, I get calls in the middle of the night if there's an emergency from, you know, our safety forces or the safety director. I work weekends. I work some holidays. There are no set hours for the mayor. You know, I kind of keep some average set hours, kind of, you know, 9 to 4 Monday through Thursday, and then on Fridays when I have appointments. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of evening hours that I put in as well. Council meetings and different functions that are going on.
Right.
So you kind of have to be very flexible with your time if you want to be the mayor of, you know, your hometown, Marion, Ohio.
Wow, that's, and you know, I didn't really think about that, but it says, what do you do for your downtime, and when do you have downtown time, Mayor?
Well, I think you kind of try and fit that time in a day. You know, I like to go to the.
What does that look like for you?
I like to go to the YMCA and I work out. That's as much as a physical stress reliever as it is mental stress reliever for me. And then, you know, if I get there at a certain time, then I can get back to the evening events that are on my schedule.
You go back to work.
Oftentimes, go back to work. Sometimes attend a daughter's school function quickly and then get back to another function. I think it's this Thursday that Panorama at Harding High School is coming up.
Okay.
So I have a daughter that's performing this Thursday, but the Chamber of Commerce after hours, business hours, are going to be held at the Marion Municipal Airport. So I have to be out there for that. And then I go to Harding High School and watch the talent show. And then I think I'm done after that. But you just work it into your schedule. And
you're probably used to it now. This
well,
is your third train. Term.
Not only do you get used to it, but you have to like it. And I like what I do. I really do. And that's very important. You know, when I was teaching, I used to tell students, and I'll tell some people today, that, you know, you better like what you do because you're going to spend a lot of time doing it. Whatever profession, whatever job it is that you end up doing, I hope that you like it because you're going to spend a lot of your adult life doing that job.
That's true. And they say you do it better when you like it.
I like to think so.
That's what they tell people. Like you said, do something you like to do.
It
won't be a strain on you. And I was going to ask, what do you like about your job mostly? But I kind of got a hint why. You can just live your life in your job. I mean, it just works for you in a way.
It sometimes doesn't feel like a job when you enjoy it so much. And when you don't mind getting up in the morning and going to work, that's kind of hard to say that's work, you know, when you enjoy it.
Sure.
I don't mind getting up and going to work. You know, I think we've all talked to people that they get up in the morning and they pull themselves out of bed. It's like, oh my goodness, I've got to go to work today.
Right.
I thank goodness do not have that in my life. And I'm very fortunate, and anybody else out there that has that same thing in their life is very fortunate as well. But there are a lot of things I like about my job as mayor. But again, like any job, there are those things that are challenging and tough. And sometimes I think, and no matter what we do, we're like, yeah, wow, do I want to continue to do this? And as long as I can get out of bed in the morning and be excited about going to work at City Hall, I'm willing to continue to do this as long as the voters will let me.
So what do you like least about your position as mayor here in Marion, Ohio?
Well, I think sometimes people get really upset at you, and that's challenging when anybody gets upset at you, regardless of whether it's your personal life or your professional life.
True.
And I find often that people don't understand something. So what I like to do is make sure that they understand the situation and why the city did what it did.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have constraints that are beyond my control. Maybe it's a state law that I have to enforce, or even a federal law. I may not like those state or federal laws. But when I take an oath of office, I raise my right hand and I take that oath to the Constitution of the United States of America, the Constitution to the State of Ohio, and the laws and ordinances of the City of Marion. And that's what I'm bound by. And to the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability, I am following that. Of course, I have a city law director, Mark Russell, that, you know, sometimes helps give me legal advice on those constitutional laws and things that you have to follow. And sometimes he'll come in and say, you can't do that because it doesn't mean I don't like it, but that's what I have to do. And that's what happens sometimes when you deal with the populace that I deal with, is they don't understand why they can't do something.
True.
And, you know, it's...
Or why this is not being done.
Right, yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. You know, I would like to do a lot more. There's no doubt about it. I think we would all like to do more. We'd all like to give more. We'd all like to do more. But, you know, that's not necessarily what we do in local government.
Right.
Again, people not understanding how their government works, they don't understand that city government can't do some things they want us to do because it's not within our authority to do that.
Right.
So
I understand that. I understand, because everyone has a job description.
Right. Yep.
They have to abide by the boundaries, right?
Speaking of, I remember when I was first running for mayor and I was knocking on somebody's door and the lady said, "What's your job description?" And it made me pause and think. And I'm like, well, my job description is really by the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
See, there are two different kinds of cities in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
There's a charter city and there's a statutory city.
Okay.
And here in Marion, we are a statutory city. So the state laws tell us that we have what we call a strong mayor, i.e. me. We have a city council, mm-hmm. and how that city council is made up. You know, 9 members versus 7 members versus 5 members versus 3 members. If you're a charter city, you have a lot more flexibility on how many council members you have, how many elected officials you have, whether you have a strong mayor, a weak mayor, or in some cases, no mayor at all.
Okay.
With some charter cities. But we're not a charter city, and right. so we have to follow the state law, and that's how I get my job description.
Mm-hmm.
If we wanted to become a charter city and change our city government, it would take a vote of the people. And the people would have to decide if they wanted us to move towards a charter city.
Okay.
And then there would be another vote that would define what that charter looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And again, whether we have a mayor, strong mayor, weak mayor, no mayor, how many council members, how many elected officials in the city we have, and then that would go on the ballot again, and then that would be what our city charter is to determine the elected officials that we have in our community.
That's good. That's good. I'm sure a lot of people wasn't aware of that.
Well, and again, there are there are pluses and minuses, positives and negatives in both sides.
Right.
Marion has always been a statutory city.
It's probably by population too.
Well, but Columbus is a charter city. Marysville is a charter city.
Okay.
So it doesn't really have anything to do with the population,
okay.
except for how that population votes if they
right.
want a charter or statutory. But the size of your city doesn't really make any difference on that degree. So
wow, I wasn't aware of that.
Yep.
Wow. You would think Columbus would be strong mayor.
Well, it is a strong mayor. That's okay. Just the charter that they have chosen is a strong mayor charter city.
Okay.
It would take a vote of the people of Columbus to change that, and they have not elected to do that at this point. So, a variety of different ways that we can go, and again, none of them are a bad way. It's just what we prefer. I'm told sometime in the, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s, this community took a vote on whether they wanted to be a charter or not. That vote went down in defeat, so therefore we stayed a statutory city, and the government that we have before us today is what we are.
So how is our fair city doing? You need a water.
So you started coughing and then I did. So no, I'm fine, thank you. So I'd like to tell people we're doing better this year than we did last year. And as long as I can continue to say that each year, which I've been able to say the past 3 years as we have come out of this economic recession that the country was in the grips of, we do better each year.
Right.
I've seen unemployment come down. That's a good sign.
Right.
I've seen home sales go up. That's a good sign. I've seen the revenues for the city go up. That's a good sign. Because when more people are working, that means more, the revenue is better for the city because we have an earned income tax. So those are good signs for us here locally.
Right.
Where we could do better is what we call workforce development or job retraining.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the number one question I get out there in the public is, hey, Mayor, when are you going to create some more jobs?
Okay.
And so that used to really bother me until I kind of analyzed it and said, you know what? We have more jobs right now than we have qualified workers.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we have qualified workers in this community to work at the jobs that are available in our community or in our region for that matter. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of folks are more mobile nowadays than they've ever been before.
Right.
Folks think of nothing of driving 30, 40, even up 50 minutes or 60 minutes to a job location. We want them driving to Marion and working here, and then we want them to move here because they're closer to their job.
Right.
And the more people we have working here, the more houses that we'll have built, because we haven't seen a lot of home construction in the past 10 years in our community. So that tells me that our housing stock is getting old, and that's why we've had to tear down over 100 homes in the city of Marion, because the housing stock has gotten so old. So we need to have a housing boom take place here in our community.
What's the span of time that we've torn down 100 homes?
Well, we've torn down those 100 homes since the beginning of my first term in office, where we got a grant from the state, I want to say, and I forget off the top of my head, but somewhere in the neighborhood of a $1.1 million grant to tear down homes.
And that's probably like, what, 6 years or something like that?
About 8 years ago.
8 years, okay.
And so in my second term, which would have been more like 6 years ago, five or six, we got another grant for almost 500,000, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done very well in this community of getting grants to tear down homes. And currently, with the county's land bank, they got a $850,000 grant a year and a half ago. So right now, we're still tearing down homes under the county land bank.
Right.
And we used to do that through the city land bank. Since the county land bank is up and running, and as mayor, I sit on the county land bank board, mm-hmm. we're doing all the demolition programs through the county land bank now. So as we tear down these homes, they need to be replaced with affordable homes in our community.
And I agree with that. And probably more assisted living for seniors.
We have seen assisted living facilities in this community in the past, I'm going to say 20 plus years, mm-hmm. really, really a lot more of them than ever before.
Right.
And so what happens when those folks move into assisted livings, it leaves those older stock homes out there.
True.
They fall into disrepair. We end up demolishing them because they're a blight on the neighborhood. And so now we just need to go out there and build affordable homes for the folks that we have living here in our community that can afford to take out a mortgage and buy a home in the city of Marion.
That's great. We need more of that. Yes. Thinking about moving myself. I don't know what's going on with my neighborhood out there. It's just a mess. But everywhere you look, it's just a mess. But I did want to talk about the war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this is not just in Marion. Mm-hmm. I know that this is nationwide. But how are we doing on that front?
Well, you know, I've long said that we can't fight a national epidemic with one hand tied behind our back paddling upstream.
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel that our law enforcement is in our own community, trying to fight the opioid epidemic. Until the federal government and until the state government get serious about it, and I realize the state and the federal government are doing more today than they did 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I will grant you that.
Right.
But this is a national crisis. And until we do something about getting the drugs coming in over our borders,
right,
which is a national issue, coming across the borders in our state, which is a state issue,
right,
because there's a lot of state commerce when it comes to the drug trade. Then we can do our job here locally. We have more sober living beds today than we did 5 years ago.
Good.
We have more programs today than we did 5 years ago.
Yes.
We have the drug court today that we didn't have, I don't know, say 5 years ago. I don't know how long the drug court's been around, but that's Judge Slagle's or court that does that. But all these things, we've had them here in our community for quite some time, and I'm just now starting to see other counties and other cities around the state get the amenities to fight the drug problems that we've had here in our community for 5 years or more.
Sure.
So I think we were ahead of the curve in fighting the opioid epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an ongoing battle. I don't know that it's a battle that will ever stop. It's like kicking any addiction. Once you're clean and sober, you will be an addict for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
We just want you to be a clean and sober addict and be a productive.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want you to be a productive, law-abiding, tax-paying citizen.
Right.
And that's what we need out of our residents in this community.
Right.
So we need, we've got the school program that the Marion City Police Department and the Marion City Schools got a grant for called Too Good for Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Our school resource officers at Grant Middle School and Harding High School participate in the Too Good for Drugs program. We have a very successful community policing program with
right.
Lieutenant B.J. Gruber and the IMPACT program, Marion Police and Community Together, which has been modeled across this country and recognized by the former President of the United States, Barack Obama, as a good community policing program. We just received a $20,000 grant mm-hmm. from a local citizen who wanted to give money to the K-9 program in the Marion City Police Department, as well as the IMPACT program.
That's great.
The community has really supported both of those programs in our Marion City Police Department. So when you look at those kinds of things, we're really doing groundbreaking things here in Marion.
That's great.
I know to some folks that are afflicted with these addiction issues in their families, with their children or their grandchildren or nieces
yeah.
or nephews, it seems like that it's an uphill battle, and I'm sure it is, but we have more things going on here in Marion than what most people realize.
Right, right. What do we have going on in Marion to help young men and women who may be just getting out of prison and trying to get their lives back together?
Well, what we have...
Do we have any programs where they can go get rehabilitation or, be introduced back into the community like...
I think the biggest problem there is, first of all, when somebody has been incarcerated in the local institutions up on Marion Williamsport Road, we often think that they settle here in Marion.
Mm-hmm.
They don't often settle here. They do sometimes. They generally go back to their home communities. But when somebody from Marion has been incarcerated somewhere else in the state,
right.
they likewise come back home to their communities that they grew up in, and that is our community.
Right.
The issue is many of our private employers will not hire you if you have a felony on your record.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changing the minds of these companies to say, let's give some of these ex-offenders an opportunity. if there are not enough workers to fill the jobs that we have in our community right now, mm-hmm. we could be excluding some very talented ex-offenders. And yes, I know that they are ex-offenders, and that is a scarlet letter that they will wear for the rest of their lives.
True.
But we have to, as a country, as a state, and as a community, encourage the private sector businesses to give some of these folks a shot. Give them a chance.
At least a chance.
And, you know, we did a pilot program in the city of Marion where we hired somebody with a felony record. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had time that I could share the backlash that I got from doing that.
Oh, really?
So there is still a lot of backlash out there when it comes to an ex-offender. We have a long, long way to go.
Discrimination, yeah.
And you know, I suppose discrimination against an ex-offender, but if you think about it, that's kind of how we were all raised. And now as adults, we're all being asked to change our mindset on something that we were taught, not to do. And that's the biggest challenge, is changing the way we think and giving yes. people a chance and giving them an opportunity.
Yes.
You know, we have one person who has a felony that I'm aware of anyhow, working for the city of Marion, and they're doing an outstanding
job
in their in their department. Outstanding.
Okay.
And but there are still some people out there that think that that's just a horrible thing that we did something like that. And, you know, if we don't give them a chance, the recidivism rate in this community is higher than it is in any other county in the state of Ohio.
Oh, it is.
We don't want them to go back out and reoffend and end back up in prison again. So, you know, hopefully that this person will not be a reoffender because we have given him an opportunity
right.
to have a good job and be that productive citizen that we want everybody to be.
Right. Because, you know, I think everybody's not going to come out of prison and want to go back and do the same thing again. They want a chance to prove themselves, especially if you spend all that time, you know, paying your dues. I think that we should think about it as people.
Well, there was a movement a couple years ago called Ban the Box. And if you've ever filled out a job application, there's a little box on there that says, check this if you've ever been convicted of a felony.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did in the city of Marion is we removed the box from some of our applications.
Okay.
And the reason I say some of them is because I legally can't hire somebody who's an ex-offender with a felony on their record for a police officer or a firefighter. The law won't allow me to do it.
Right, right.
But there are other jobs in the city of Marion where we could, and that's why we banned the box. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to run a background check on you.
Of course.
We run a background check on everybody mm-hmm. that is employed with the city of Marion since I've been here, and I presume that Jack Kellogg and the previous administrations have done the same thing. But we still run that background check, and then we'll have to make a decision,
right.
you know, on whether we hire that person based upon their criminal past.
Right, 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 right. I guess if a person has made a habit of doing it, it's probably kind of hard to
sure.
And maybe it's a one-time offender. Maybe they would be more apt to give them an opportunity to prove themselves, because otherwise, crime is going to be so high, not
mm-hmm.
just in this city, but any city where people can't have an opportunity to turn their lives around, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there. Also, I want to talk about the gun control.
Mm-hmm.
I know after that shooting in Florida, I couldn't think of the city, but we had threats here at our local schools.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
We did?
Yes, we did.
Are you sure?
Well, I was told that.
Well, we should verify information before we talk about
right,
it on the air.
Right, because, anyway, I was at Grant Middle School teaching the Bible after school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I heard about it. So,
well, let me just tell you this. When it comes to those types of threats, the school system has protocols in place to deal with them.
Okay.
And they dealt with them according to their protocols. And the Marion City Police Department, the chief of police, the safety director, and myself met with the school administration as all this was going on.
Right.
And we found that the school was following exactly what they should be doing. And the police department was doing exactly what they should be doing. And if we all keep our kids home just because we're afraid that something might happen, then we'd never leave our houses.
I know.
It is challenging. I'm a parent. Mm-hmm. I sent my kids to school on those days when a lot of other people chose to keep their children home. And I don't criticize them for that at all. But I think we have to understand that when we read something on Facebook, it might not be true.
That's true. You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that, because there are some things on there that are not true.
Yep.
To get people all stirred up and afraid, you know. But I went to do what I went there to do, you know. And but what do you think about metal detectors in our schools?
I think the governor recently has introduced some bills in the state legislature as a result of the Florida shooting. I think they're probably going to pass, which gives me an indication that the public at large is generally okay with the passage of these laws. I think it's a step in the right direction. I also think that you have to be very careful not to infringe upon anybody's constitutional rights.
True.
I don't have a problem with law-abiding citizens owning guns. It's the criminal element or the non-law-abiding citizen that you're concerned about.
That's true.
So background checks, I think it was 90-some percent of the public at large across the country is okay with those.
Yeah.
I think we need to do a better job of doing the background checks. And so that's kind of how I feel. I think sometimes it's up to the local school board on what they do. They are elected by the voters of a school district. And I think those decisions should be left up to them and the local law enforcement, whether it be the county sheriff or the city police. We're there to assist and enforce the laws as they are.
Right. Right, right. Well, it's good to know that we really didn't have a threat.
Well, I'm not gonna say that there wasn't a threat.
Right.
I just think that each threat is different, and each threat needs to be fully investigated,
That's
which
true.
They were. And sometimes threats get blown way out of proportion through the Facebook chain. And once you get to the root of the original so-called threat,
right,
it wasn't near what it was on Facebook by the time most people read it.
That's true. And then it goes to another avenue after that once it hits Facebook, you know. Is there one thing you would like to tell the citizens of Marion, Ohio before you leave?
Well, I just, you know, thank you for the opportunity to come on the show today. It's been a while since you and I have sat down and talked on the show, on air. So I always appreciate getting out there and talking to the residents of Marion. Know that your city government is working for you. City Council meets on the second and fourth Monday of every month in the second floor of City Hall at 7:30. Those council meetings are open to the public. And we have committees on the first Monday and the third Tuesday, which is tomorrow night, are our committee nights. So if you want to know more about something that's in a committee, that would be the place to start, and then go to the council meeting and see how your council person votes. Always reach out to your council person to let them know your concerns, and also reach out to the mayor's office or any department in the city that we can, if it's something that we're responsible for doing, we will definitely give it the attention that it deserves.
Okay, you've heard that from our illustrious mayor, Scott Schertzer of Marion, Ohio. I thank you for being here and having time to come on my show and answer some questions, and I'm sure that our audience, I hope, were pleased with your answers and the questions that I asked.
Well, I hope so, too, and have me back. I'll come on again.
I will do that. And thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People. We are here every Monday here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And tomorrow we will be having Tom Quaid of the Marion Health Department. So if you would like to tune in and hear what he has to say about the health department, please tune in on between hour of 4:15 and 5. So thank you once again, Linda Sims, the voice of a people. Thank you. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, you make sure that before he went on the air the first time, you said, it is not Bucky Russ.
And got back into radio, and now I'm doing some syndicated shows for Ducks Unlimited and for the Toyota Motor Company.
You got a commercial in there, and you weren't authorized.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Madge used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes, yes.
You brought it back from New York, didn't you?
There you go. Sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. I got that trip to New York interviewing a Paris designer. And they said, well, you know, you can't work this anywhere up here. You have to go down to the basement where there is DC current. So I took Pauline Trichet. I took Pauline Trichet into the basement of this hotel to interview her there. And she is as slick an announcer as I ever saw. I mean, a designer. She's probably one of the best designers. She just took to that very well. It worked for that one. Then I did some.